Mr. Holmes.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. Rodney Holmes on behalf of defendant appellant Cortez Wooden. Cortez Wooden was found guilty in the Southern District of Illinois before Chief Judge Herndon for possession with intent to distribute 50 grams or more of crack cocaine. Mr. Wooden, because he has two prior drug convictions, 851 enhancements were filed, he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. We raise three issues on appeal. First is that Mr. Wooden should have been sentenced under the new Fair Sentencing Act, which would not have resulted in a life sentence. It would have resulted in a 10-year mandatory minimum. He was a career offender, and his guideline range would have been 360 to life. At the time that the brief was written, the Supreme Court had not ruled in Dorsey. Since that time, the United States Supreme Court has ruled in Dorsey that defendants in Mr. Wooden's position, whose crimes occurred prior to the passing or the implementation of the Fair Sentencing Act, but sentenced after the act was in effect, should get the benefit of the new law. That the Supreme Court issued that opinion, and the position of the defendant is that this case should be remanded for resentencing pursuant to Dorsey. The other two issues that we have, one is insufficiency of the evidence, and the third issue is that the 404B evidence of his prior conviction constituted unfair prejudice towards the defendant. Now, the second issue, as it pertains to insufficiency of the evidence, the defendant acknowledges that we have an uphill burden. The evidence is viewed in a light that's most favorable to the government, and the court will view the evidence in such a manner that if a reasonable juror could have found the defendant guilty, the verdict will be upheld.
Wasn't this something like, we had, 51 grams of crack, right?
Correct.
And we've got a record that says the typical dose is about a tenth or two-tenths of a gram, right?
That is correct, yeah.
So we've got between 250 and 500 doses. Sorry about the interference. I don't know. We've got, anybody have any live cell phones? Okay. I don't know if that was the problem or not, but it happens. I don't know why. But we've got between 250 and 500 individual doses of crack cocaine here, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And you're saying it was an unreasonable inference, even from that quantity, that was intended for distribution?
If you look at the evidence as it was, and the testimony as it occurred in the trial, Your Honor, Special Agent Ray, who was the government's expert, indicated that the analysis of what a typical user would use does not apply in windfall situations. And Cortez Wooden, from the time of his arrest, consistently indicated that he had broke into a vehicle the night before and stole this amount.
Was the jury required to believe that?
No, they're not required to.
And not consistently either. He was in the jailhouse with some fellow who heard him say something different, didn't he? And the jury heard that.
Yeah, an individual in the jail indicated that Mr. Wooden had told him that he had purchased this cocaine from an individual. But there were some discrepancies with this witness as well that, you know, our position is that it caused, it brings his credibility into doubt. One of the issues with this witness.
It's a jury issue, though.
Yes, it is a jury issue.
Let me ask you about the 404B evidence. Where there's this ambiguity as to whether he had acquired this cocaine for consumption or for sale or for both, isn't it quite relevant that he has a history of being a seller?
Yes, Your Honor, it is it is relevant that he has a history. 404B, as this court is aware, is can be used to show knowledge, intent, lack of mistake, habit. Mr. Wooden at no time indicated that he did not know what crack cocaine was.
No, but intent. Well, wouldn't this be relevant to his intent?
Well, it could be. Our position, the position of Mr. Wooden, is that this prior occurred years ago. He went to prison. He did his time for that particular crime. Being injected in this particular case, it creates a huge risk of a jury finding Mr. Wooden guilty simply on propensity. He sold drugs before. We have another drug case. He probably did it again.
Well, there's room certainly to make that argument in an objection. Did the defense raise an objection here to the 404B admission?
We not at trial, but
okay,
prior to the trial, and the court needs to be aware that there were two trials in this case, and the motions that were filed in the previous trial were adopted in the second trial. A response, an objection to the 404B evidence was filed by Renee Schooley, and the judge Herndon allowed that evidence in.
It went in during both trials, correct?
It went in during both trials. Okay. So there was not an objection physically at the trial, but there was an objection to the admission of that in the record filed by.
So do you agree or disagree with the government that the plain error standard applies here?
I don't think plain error applies because of the response filed by the federal public defender to the
back on the first trial.
On the first trial, all the motions were adopted into the second trial. No new motions by either side were filed. We adopted those motions that were presented in the first trial. Even if the government is correct and it is a plain error standard, there still is the issue of unfair prejudice to the defendant, and which caused the jury to rule by propensity. And that is a
Well, if it's plain error, you've got an impossible standard.
It is
on 404B. You're saying that the district judge had a duty to step in and stop the presentation of evidence when the defense didn't object, right?
That is correct, Your Honor. But the position of the defendant Wooden is that it's not plain error because of the motion that was filed previously.
I'm not even sure that evidence was that harmful from a propensity standpoint. Because, as you say, it's old, and you could say to the jury, well, yeah, he was convicted many years ago for selling cocaine, but that was the end of it. He hasn't done that since. So now he's just a consumer. The jury might not believe it. I don't know that it would be inflammatory.
Well, it's... Your Honor, that is a possibility, but it's also possible that a jury or a particular juror will look at this and say, once a drug dealer, always a drug dealer. He did it before. Mr. Wooden should be about 30 right now, 30 years old, early 30s. I see my time has expired, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you.
Ms. Snyder?
May it please the Court. Good morning. Kelly Snyder for the United States. First, the United States concedes that the defendant appellant's case must be remanded to the district court for resentencing in light of the recent Supreme Court decision. And the only other points regarding the 404B evidence, just as a point of clarification, before the first trial, when the initial defense counsel filed that motion regarding that prior conviction evidence, it was on the basis of 609 and 403. And the district court analyzed that motion and did the 403 balancing test that can be found in document 32 of the record. If for any reason this court feels that the 404B evidence was entered improperly, it would be harmless error because of the overwhelming evidence of defendant's guilt.
What was different between the first and second trial? Was anything added to the government's case?
I'm not exactly sure, Your Honor.
Did the jailhouse snitch testify in the first trial?
I do not know. The jailhouse snitch, of course, did testify in the second trial. But even regardless of whether he testified in the first trial, we still have the quantity of crack cocaine, the presence of the small denomination cash fanned across the defendant's lap, the lack of a crack pipe or anything to ingest that crack cocaine, and, of course, the defendant's prior convictions.
And did you mention the scale?
Yes, and the presence of the scale. Mm-hmm. I did not mention that.
And,
thank you.
And the statement he made to the police where he said, I was going to smoke it, but if there was a chance to sell it, I'd do that, or if I needed money, I'd do that.
Yes, the defendant's videotaped confession where he talked about hustling. That's correct. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Snyder. Do you have anything further, Mr. Holmes?
Yes, Your Honor, I can respond to the question. The difference between the first trial and the second trial was that the jailhouse snitch did not testify in the second trial.
So it seems to me that the 404B evidence wasn't that harmful to him. It was the jailhouse snitch that tipped the scale.
I'd argue that both were harmful.
Wait a second. Where was the – in which trial did the snitch testify?
The second one.
Oh, okay.
The one that I represented him in.
Before the jury reached a verdict. They couldn't reach a verdict with just the 404B evidence.
Correct, Your Honor. And the other thing I'd like to point out, the lack of the crack pipe, we have testimony from the U.S. Marshals that performed the search. They both indicated that the purse of the female that was driving the car was not searched. One of the marshals said he thought the other marshal did the search, and the second marshal indicated that no one did the search. So the crack pipe could have been in the purse. Nothing further, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not?
Yes,
Mr. Holmes, so we thank you very much for your efforts on behalf of your client. I want to thank Mrs. Snyder as well. Next case for argument, United States.